Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter on the resurrection, and I know it's not Easter, we still, even in Lent, give thanks that Jesus is risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul rightly identifies death as the enemy. In fact, he calls death the last enemy. I don't know how many gamers are here this evening, but in certain games, there's the final boss, the last bad guy to get through before you defeat the game. And death is the final enemy. And we do well to remember this about death. It is an enemy. So much of what we do as Christians and those especially outside the church is struggle and grapple with death. We want to sanitize it. We want to, of course, avoid it at all costs. We see a lot of this awkwardness come up when it comes to funerals. One of the most stunning things I've encountered as a pastor is the changing attitudes toward funerals. More and more people are uncomfortable with people gathering to grieve. They're uncomfortable with the idea of their family being face to face with death. And in a way, that's understandable. Death is ugly. It's messy. I've seen it. Honestly, I tell people it's a privilege I have as a pastor to be with people as they die. But it is not nice. And there are those who have encountered death in far worse scenarios. First responders, our veterans, our soldiers who have served in war zones have seen death and just how ugly it can be. And that shouldn't be lost on us as we read John tell us in our gospel, our passion gospel for tonight. He said, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In other words, life left him. Jesus died. Jesus took on the ugliness and the messiness of death. We talked about crucifixion last week. We talked about the image of the crucifix and the struggle some people have with it. Well, it's because it leads to this: a painful, gruesome death. You heard in the text that the legs of those on the crosses were broken, except for Jesus, because he had died already. The reason being is that death on the cross typically occurs by suffocation. When a person has the spikes go through their hands into the cross, in order to breathe, the person hanging has to pull themselves up to allow their diaphragm to expand and contract. You can imagine the pain on the hands and on the feet, because you must push yourself off your ankles to lift your body up. So when they break the legs of those on the cross, they can no longer pull themselves up to breathe. And they suffocate. That did not happen in the case of Jesus. Not a bone of his was broken, as it was foretold by the prophets. But he did indeed die. He rightly saw death as the enemy and met it head on. And the stunning account of Jesus dying has to be seen in light of everything that St. John has said about who Jesus is. He is the Word, God made flesh. He's the bread of life, the light of the world, the I am, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine. He who is the source of life and life itself is dead. It's messy. It's gruesome. And yet joyfully we as Christians look upon him. His side is pierced and outflow blood and water. There have been artists who have depicted this. One of the most famous paintings is by a painter of the Lutheran Reformation era named Lucas Cranach the Elder. And he painted a picture of Jesus crucified on his cross, and below the cross are Cranach himself, Martin Luther, and other fathers of the Reformation, and the blood and the water from Jesus' side are pouring out upon them. Not a pretty image, the sort of thing from horror movies, it would seem. But it is by water from the baptismal font, where the death of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all our sin. It is by blood given us with wine, along with his flesh given in bread, where we feast upon him who died, that we look upon this Jesus in his death and see our salvation. That he who gives life is the one who gives life by dying. That is the power of God, the mystery of the cross. That in death, God reveals power. In death, Jesus gives life. In Jesus, we are invited to look upon death, to gaze upon death, to contemplate death, to be washed in death, to eat and drink death for our life. He, Jesus, is of course the sacrifice. He's the ram in our Old Testament reading. He's the mediator of a new covenant as described in our reading from the Hebrews. He's the sacrifice that ends all sacrifice. His messy, gruesome, painful, bloody death is the entry into life. And so we can't help but look past death tonight to Easter. That Jesus who died will indeed live again. And as you and I go through the messiness, the pain, the gruesomeness, and the ugliness of death ourselves, so like Jesus, it's so that we would come through in life on the other side. God grant you grace and joy to look upon death and all of its messiness, because in the death of Jesus, that is where your life is found. That is where your life is made new. Because there cannot be resurrection if there is not death first. And we know how the story goes. We know what follows the mess of death. And that is the life that never ends. Because the last enemy, death, is defeated by the one who died. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.